What up, y'all? Julian Gateau here, and today we are on Chilling with Julian, episode 14, where the mission is interviewing inspiring individuals to inspire others. I am super thankful because not only do we have an amazing podcast space with the dope view of LA, it's kind of rainy right now, but I have a close friend of mine for 7+ years. We go way back. Her name is Naisha Merced. She's a dancer, she's a model, and a florist. Naisha, welcome to Chilling with Julian.
Hi.
Hello. How you doing?
Good to see you.
Good to see you. Welcome back to Cali.
I know.
My first time in Cali was when we like went on a trip as a group back in 2019. So
yeah,
the fact that I'm here and that you're here is cool.
I know. Very full circle moment.
So tell the people where you're from and what's your passion. What are you passionate about?
All right. So I'm originally from Puerto Rico. I was born there. I came here when I was 2. I went to Reading, Pennsylvania. Then I moved to Allentown, lived there my whole life until I graduated 2018. I moved with my wonderful boyfriend, Christian Geigel, to New York City. We've been, well, mostly Brooklyn, a little bit of Harlem. And yeah, I'm here now. On vacation for my B-Day.
Happy birthday again.
Yes, thank you.
It's a great time.
Pisces season.
Unfortunately, you don't got the weather to match your birthday.
I know. I mean, LA's whatever. Been rainy. It's water. I'm a water sign. It makes sense.
Okay, cool. Yeah. But dance, what about dance got you involved into it the first time? And like, what are you trained in? Like, what genres are you trained in dance?
So I'm a contemporary modern dancer, more like floor work. I love partnering. I have like a really big interest in improvisational styles. I vogue from time to time when I'm feeling like it. Yes. With all my friends. And yeah, I think when I first started actually dancing was in high school when I was 16, and I didn't think I wanted to go to school for dance. Like, that was not my intention.
Yeah.
But then I had done music, I had done theater, I had sang in choir, so I was like, you know what, why don't I just like learn how to dance, focus these 4 years on dancing, and I don't have technique behind it, so yeah, I can become a triple threat and like maybe go on Broadway, and like that was just like my thing at the time, and I really didn't have to go to school for that.
Yeah.
I'm learning that now, but I'm glad that I did, because I have like such a really strong foundation with like somatic work, like gyrokinesis and gyrotonic, which is stretching and strengthening the muscles around your joints. And that's something that I got into and I wouldn't have gotten into if it wasn't for dancing in New York City or just in life in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the body and the mind are so like intertwined.
Yeah.
And people don't know that. Yeah. So I'm glad that I have that background. I'm not like a regular, I don't know what we call like regular people.
Yeah.
Like people who don't dance, we just say normal people. Yeah. Like, y'all bodies be hurting, and I see it, and I'm glad I'm not.
It's I think with dance, like, you can also use it as a form of expression.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Which happy, is, mad, yeah, excited, sad. You just want to decompress and, you know,
yeah,
put that specific song to how you're feeling.
Yeah,
and just like let the body move to it.
Right, or it's even just different, like going to the club, like it's just such like an expression in itself, like. One of my teachers, my mentor, is Segu Haru, who's like master house dancer. He hates when I say master. He's like the best teacher. House dancer, known worldwide for his like, he's just amazing. Mm-hmm. He's made his own like technique, and he involves capoeira and everything that he's learned like within hip hop dancing to inform his house movement.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's just always talking about like dancing in the club, and that's, you know, remember when we had that dance battle,
yeah,
when we came to LA, like
that
the second or third time?
That was a vibe.
Me and Julian had a dance battle in the club, and we were like going ham, and JC was there, I think, and Christian, and everybody was just like all of our friends were just so like,
I think we need to run that back.
We were having the best time. Like, we had that club jumping, and nobody else was like moving, and that's like where like the spirit of like dance lies, is,
yeah,
like there. It's like not always in the like classroom, it's,
yeah,
in that. And that is what Sekou always expresses.
100%.
Yeah.
In addition to hip hop, contemporary is also a big, important genre, very popular as well. Contemporary dance company that you work for as an associate artistic director is the J. Chen Project. Tell us a little bit about that, how you got started, and how's that going? What's that experience
like? So J. Chen Project, I started as a J. Chen mentee in 2017, I believe, like my junior year, the summer junior year before I graduated from DeSales and went to school. I went to the J. Chen Project mentorship, met Jessica Chen at DeSales University, and we kind of like clicked immediately. She was teaching a choreography class, like a comp class.
Yeah.
So I dropped in because I was like, okay, I want to know what she's about. Like, everybody's been saying they love like her piece. She was setting work on the senior piece. She was sending the senior piece at DeSales University that year. So I went to the class, and then like we went around in a circle, and she gave us like, I guess like a count of eight to just improvise the music. And then once I like finished improvising, she kind of looked at me like, who is this girl? Like, there's something different about her. And ever since then, like, I tried to go to her mentorship the first year. I think that was like sophomore year. Then junior year, I was able to go. I got my like little money together, scraped as much as I can to like go for 2 weeks and dance with her. And it was amazing. She really taught us a lot about like what it means to be a dancer in New York City, because that's what she was doing.
Yeah.
And it's really about like, can you like go to class, go to work, handle like what you got to do at the end of the day, like, but still also have fun. And it really set me up for like a life of success within dance. And so we've just been building our relationship since then. She just got married, so congratulations to her.
Congratulations.
Yes, her and David. But yeah, I recommend like doing something like that if you are a dancer and you don't know if you want to move to like a certain city. It's always good to have like a 2 week period, or just like visit like every like, for, I don't know how to say this, like, just go visit the city. Just go visit, see how you like it.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, move somewhere else. If you're trying to like leave where you're at.
Yeah.
Which was what I was trying to do at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I love New York. It was so much different than like Philadelphia, which was like the closest city to me.
Yeah.
And it just ended up just being that way with her. Yeah.
That's like your work life. And you know, time to time it's work, work, work. And here it's kind of work too. You know, you come to LA, you got some work to do.
Yeah.
But what does Naisha do for fun?
There's so many things. I'm so interested in like a million things, and I just like love to get into anything and everything that I can get my hands in. As you know, I do a million things. But right now I'm really focused on guitar, like playing guitar.
Okay.
I did, got my guitar teacher, one of my friends, Tiffany, from Fish Cheeks, where I used to work. Her partner is a guitar teacher, and he was coming like the one day I was telling her about how I wanted to take guitar lessons, and all of a sudden like I was even journaling it too, which was the crazy part. Like I was journaling like, I think this is the year I start guitar lessons.
Yeah.
Like, let's see how it manifests, like whatever. And then like I'm talking to Tiffany about it, I'm talking to other people about it, and she's like, oh yeah, my partner's coming like right now, he's a guitar teacher in the city. And I was like,
that's wild.
Like, look at that. Of course, this is how it's going to happen. Like, it's just meant to be. And even before that, it was really funny because I had booked, like, a Facebook, like, meta job. And they had me holding a guitar. And I was like, I used to, like, try to play guitar in middle school. Mm-hmm. It just didn't work out. Like, my hands were too tiny. Mm-hmm. Like, I was, like, in my head about all of it. And, yeah, that's just the way that it manifested into my life. I'm so grateful because now, like, 3 months that I've been doing it, like, almost every day.
Yeah.
And that's the way that I can think about my artistry and my creativity without having to capitalize it, because I'm not that good yet.
Okay.
And also just like enjoy it. Like, this is like, we shouldn't have to like think about capitalizing every single thing. Mm-hmm. That's another conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's super dope. And I think with learning a new skill like guitar can help with, you know, mental health and help with relaxing and take a break from the work side. But there's another side of work that you're heavily involved in, which is modeling.
Yes.
How did you get into that? I see your posts and you have a different fit this time, and a different fit this time, and a different location this time. It's really cool. And like, tell us about like how you got into modeling, what attracts you to modeling, and like, how would you say your specific style is unique?
Okay, so I feel like I don't have a specific style. I feel like right now I feel like wearing hiker aesthetic because it's ugly outside. Like, it really just depends on the day. Yeah. And like my mood, and like, do I feel like being a bad bitch right now? Do I feel like do I feel like not being seen? Like, do I wear a hat? Like, or am I trying to brighten my day? What colors am I wearing? It really is just dependent on my mood. Mm-hmm. And like what I'm doing that day. If I'm gonna be dancing, athletic clothes all day long. I'm gonna be sweating, I'm gonna be moving, running errands, I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's just really like my style. But how I got into modeling, I always was told my whole life, like, Nisha, you should be a model, you should be a model, you should be a model. And I was like really overwhelmed by the facts because I just didn't know how to start. And I was like really, really young. My mom even was like telling me, like, we need to figure it out. One time we tried to go and they tried to get you in like one of those hotel scams in Philly where they're like, she should be in a pageant, we're gonna make you pay like all this money. It's just like there's so many like weirdos out there trying to get your money, and even like some agencies too. I like when my agency's That's Model Management approached me, I was like, what is this? What is that? Like, I was looking research. Everything up. Yeah, because they can take advantage of just like young kids out there who don't know what the f- they're doing. And that is, it's predatory in all industries, like no matter where you're going. And I've heard like my one friend, she was like freaking like $60,000 in debt because the modeling agency just was like, we're gonna front you all this money. We know you can make it big, but you're gonna owe us for this modeling apartment and for this and for that. And like, this is not the first time I've heard that. Like, there are millions of stories out there on YouTube and all that stuff. So there's a lot of resources there. But so Steps Model Management approached me. I had been building up my Instagram as more portfolio and just having like, you know, dance photos, photo shoots with like Boima out here, you know, really showcasing what I could do, and in New York as well. And JC was actually one of the first people to recruit me as a model, like when he was studying at the sales. Yeah. And so we would just go like on like drives, and one time we were like renting an airplane. It was just so crazy.
I remember that.
The air, that college, I have right? it. My mom has it like in, like there's like, you know, when moms have pictures of you and like your brothers and your sisters.
Twitter too, or something on social media. He pulled off that airplane.
I don't know, but it was really crazy. Like, we were modeling with the airplane and the guy was like, airplanes seem to be looking happy and I'm here just trying to like serve. And he's just like, whatever. Anyway, so that's where I got started. Steps Model Management came to me through Instagram. Love that. Definitely manifested that through like hashtags and all that good stuff. My friends were posting me. That repost is really, really helpful. Like, that repost is very helpful out there because people just, you know, engagement, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. Social media is very powerful. But so are you. Like, so I had to push. Got signed. My first year, I probably did like 10 to 15 projects. Wait, sorry. That end of the first year was like two. Mm-hmm. I did Papa John's, which was very hilarious.
Yeah.
And then I did Spotify, which with Karol G, which was huge.
That's fire.
Yeah. And that went everywhere worldwide, was like the Latino playlist, the top Latino playlist of the world at the time. And so like, it was just going around everywhere.
People
were sending it to me. It was like really cool. And they liked me for me because I had tooth gems at the time, and like, a lot of jobs were turning me down for that, so I had to take them off. But that job specifically booked me because of the tooth gems. So I felt like very seen, like, and I am Afro Latina, so it was just like good to just be represented in that way. Cause like, what the, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And ever since then, 10 to 15 jobs, I've done a lot of cool stuff. I don't want to say too many things because I don't know what's out yet or what has to be out yet or what's coming out yet. It's been good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get signed in LA. So If anybody wants to sign me out there, I'm here, baby. I'm trying to be black also.
Put it out there in the universe.
We're gonna make it work.
That's how these things happen. Like when you have an idea or you have something that you're going for, you put on social media, people watch.
Yeah. And I don't think that a lot of the time when I put it out there, but then like when I'm back with like you guys over here, you're like, oh, are you still vegan? And I'm like, no. Are you still doing this? Are you still doing that? And I'm like, damn, people really be watching out here.
Yeah.
And I forget that I'd be doing that too. Like I really do creep. Like I creep on people. I go down far in the timeline if I first meet you. Like I just want everybody to know. And I'll do it in front of you too. I'll be like, huh, yeah. So you did this. And they're like, why are you doing that right now? My bad. But that's how I got started.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of underlying pressures in the modeling agency and just, you know, modeling in general for body positivity, body image. Men and women of America struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
What's your way of handling that, dealing with that, and advice that you give to individuals with that issue?
Yeah, well, it really is hard because I am 5'4", like, and people like really, really overlook the shorties. And of course, like, you know, there's so many, it's just, this industry is geared towards like white, tall men and women. And so if you are not that, it's very hard for you to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the curve models have it really bad out there. You know, like black models have it really bad out there. Like there is like the Zendaya effect, like where girls with curly hair who have my skin type, they just automatically get like all most of the roles. And it's like every time I walk into a room and I see like the girls that look like me, I'm just like, is this right? Like, is that right?
Yeah.
No, it is not. Because we need more representation other than like girls that look like me. Oh, and like tall, skinny. I hate to say it, tall, skinny, but that's what it is. Like, that's what they cast, and that's what they like. And even like in Japan, and like, yeah, people are like, y'all are laughing, but it's really true. Like, whenever they're like, I'm like, oh, I want to go to this agency. They're like, okay, well, you have tattoos. I'm like, okay, like, that doesn't mean I can't like work it.
Yeah.
But like they won't even give you that chance because I am short, because I am, do have tattoos, because I am like, I have curly hair and it's like hard to manage. And I'm just like, whatever. Like it's that, all those things are always against you. And like the more removed and that you are from like being white, the harder it is. So just, well, how I deal with that is like, you know, I just, every time I have a job right before the day of, I, you know, sit myself down, I look in the mirror, I do a face mask, I gua sha, like I do my whole skincare routine, like just make sure I do the ultimate self-care, because when they do like say like undermining comments, like, wow, those tattoos are really intense, like we need to put her in a long sleeve. It's so stupid, but like, those little things like do eat at you. Like that was one of the most annoying comments. Like, her tattoos are really intense. So we need to either get a release, which is like, yeah, they try not to get sued, but also it's like, I don't know. It's just annoying. Like, because it's like that, but like about your skin or about your hair or about your weight or about your height all the time. So yeah, just
I could
mentally
imagine
preparing.
Does that mentally mess with you? Like you get, just in the industry in general, like, you get so many different comments of this or that or this or that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like keep that mental strength?
I mean, it really is just like resiliency and just being able to not care. Like not caring is another way of, it's like very, I don't know. You just can't give.
Yeah.
I just don't even waste my like time and energy. Like when I hear things like that, I'm like, okay, so what you really mean is this. And that's when you catch them. That's when they like don't really try. They don't mess with you anymore because you hear what they're saying. And once you like say it back to them, they're like, oh, did I say it this way? I'm like, yes, you did. And it was a little hurtful.
Yeah.
And that is a strength of mine too. Like I'm not quiet about the things that people say to me. I'm like, oh, so what you really mean is this? Like you're saying you're really,
you can't be quiet,
right? Yeah, no, you can't. And you have to like call it out right away. And yeah, that's the best way to like just get it over with. It's like having that conversation and having that uncomfortable conversation to just like get it out the way, talk about it, and then like, move on.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, just brush it off and keep walking, because some people, it's really not worth the time. But yeah, it's hard. It's not easy. Yeah. And especially when you're like comparing yourself to like other people who are on your same level, it's just, you have to get away from that mindset. Like, the comparing mindset isn't good, because like everybody has something that's special within themselves, and everybody has room to make it in the field. You just really have to believe in yourself and just like, and I hate that, because that's always like the thing that they say, like, believe in yourself, be yourself. But it really is that. And like, the more authentic that you are, the brighter you'll shine. I feel like that's it.
You could never be original. No one could ever beat that. There's so much competition in the world. Someone's like this type or that type.
Yeah.
But if you are your own self, it's hard to copy.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like, nobody could be this cute, but also this goofy. But this goofy, like, I'm goofy as hell. Like, I'm really goofy, like weird, crazy. And people see it and they're like,
it's unique.
They're like, who is this girl? And I'm just here like, being a crazy bitch on the side, but also having fun, because that's just how I want to live my life.
And it's down to earth, and I think that's super genuine.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So you had like many cool experiences. You mentioned Carlo G and Spotify. Mm-hmm. And, out of all of the things that you've been a part of, like, what's the most memorable experience that you've had?
This was really funny, because I was actually with my boss, Jessica, from JGM Project. She was like, oh, do you want to go see your face on a table? I'm on a table, and I was on a, I'm on a bus too, like in New York City for Brookfield Place, which is a mall.
Yeah.
And it's a really fancy mall. Like, it's cute. And so we went in like after this tour that we were going to see a theater for, and there's this lady like sitting, like doing her work on the table, and my face is like under her laptop, and I was like, I have a question for you. And you know, people in New York, they're mad at us. They're like, why the f*** is this bitch talking to me right now? And I was like, my face is under your laptop. Like, can I take a picture with the table? And she like immediately was like, what? Like, that's crazy. And I took a picture with the table. It was like so funny. I have not seen the bus yet, but I hope to see the bus.
You gotta find that bus.
You gotta find the bus. Hopefully
find
it's
the bus
running
for us. Let us know.
I still haven't seen it. So many people have seen it. So many people have taken like so many pictures and videos and sent it to me, and I still can't find it.
Is but that one is, bus?
It's one bus, and I know the number of it, and my friend who is on the bus too, she called and like tracked it down one day. Yeah, my friend Emma, and she like found it, and she gave me all the coordinates and all that, but it's just too much. Like,
just plan a day just to find the bus.
It's all right. Like, I'll see it. I know it's out there, and that's all that matters. Yeah. But it is very memorable. The table and the bus. Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Puerto Rican culture is very heavy, and you make sure that pride is there.
Yeah.
Why is that important to you?
Well, I was born there, and I think that it's very different, like, when you're not and when you are. It's just true. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the Caribbean culture is instilled in many different ways, like, when you're on the island versus when you're off the island. It's a very different way of living, like, you know, the speaking Spanish, like, I want to say that I'm like, again, the best of both worlds. It's just, I'm always like in the middle, because I was born there, but then I moved back, and then I would always go back every summer. So like, I kept forgetting Spanish. It's not even our native culture, but whatever, that's another topic. And I would forget my Spanish and go back and then learn it again and then be mixed up with my English in school. So I like didn't really like writing, because it was hard for me to like comprehend in both languages. And then just like there was a drop off when I was like 16, because I guess my parents weren't like doing well financially, so we couldn't go back as much. And the recession hit. That's what happened. And yeah, just like lost touch with my culture. And thankfully, like, Allentown is predominantly, like I said, black and brown, and there's a lot of Hispanics there from all over. So I was able to retain it that way. But then when I was like 19, I was like, something's missing. And it was that always going back and like kind of like humbling sense, because it's like, Puerto Rico is hard to live there now, because it's just like, everything's becoming gentrified. And once I started seeing like all the changes on the island versus when I was younger, yeah. it really like kind of broke my heart. Like yeah. the river that I used to go to and jump off of rocks with my like uncles and cousins, there's white people like visiting. And I've never seen, and even like just from all around the world, like I would see like Indians, like people from India. Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is really crazy. How do you not, y'all know about this like hidden ass spot? Because it's just picking up as like a tourist place. But is that really helpful for like the people on the island? No, because they're the ones who aren't getting paid the wages. The white people are using one of the acts. I think it's like title. Oh, I should know this. La Ley 22. I think it's like, I don't know how to say it in English, whatever. Title 22 or something like that. My friend Jordy Flores, she's really good at explaining it because she lives there. But basically, all these people are getting tax deductions for buying land and businesses and apartment buildings on the island, and they're forcing people out. And what's happening is that the people who live there are being forced to move. They don't have anywhere to go. This is where they've been their whole life. So what is like, it's happening everywhere. It's happening in New York. It's happening in Puerto Rico. It's really sad. And people are pushing for change. Mm-hmm. And I just want to be a vehicle for that.
Yeah.
And that's why it's like really important for me. Because it's happening everywhere to like all different cultures.
I think it's super cool and important that you do advocate for something. I think mm-hmm. at the end of the day, with the modeling industry and dance industry and anything where you're going to be on a public stage in the public eye, people are going to want to know more about you, the person, and the fact yeah. that you have different causes that you genuinely care about. And I'm sure there's a plethora of additional causes you care about. I think that speaks to the people and that makes them connect with you more.
Yeah.
Something that is different that we don't hear about is being a florist.
Mm-hmm. My favorite.
How did you get into this world of being a florist? And what is a florist in general? Like, how would you describe that?
So this is my most recent venture. I became a florist during COVID because I didn't have performance or modeling opportunities because things were slow for everybody, let's be honest. And so how I started was being a delivery person for flowers. And that shit was crazy. I mean, I love driving, so I was like, why not? I have a license. Like, I applied to, well, before that, Stolen Magnolia. Delilah at Stolen Magnolia gave me my flower foundation, and I love her so much. She is one of my flower moms. Kind of like a flower tia and like a flower best friend, because she is like not that old. And a lot of people in the florist industry are old because it's just that way. I don't know why I manifest that way, but yeah, she's the best. I learned with her and my friend Chastity, and I wasn't really good at it. So I turned to delivering at STEMS, my second flower mom, Susanna. Yes, she was the best with Zara and Shannon and like just like this really fun group of North Carolina white girls who work at this fun ass like Brooklyn shop. And they do a lot for the community too, which is made me feel better because, and I told her this too, I was like, you know, like brown and black people don't like to work with people who are all white because there's usually a lot of drama that comes with that, just from being different and like cultural differences. But she made me feel very welcome, and like I'm happy that she gives back to her community, and she knows that she's a gentrifying business, so that she is like always giving to mutual aids and doing as much as she can. So that's where I got like most of my flower foundation. And it was really great. After I was a delivery person, then they needed somebody on Mother's Day. They needed somebody on Mother's Day, and they were like, you know what, we're gonna give you the position. I think you can, like, we can teach you, you're fast, you're a good worker, yada yada. So I did it, and it was one of the most rewarding things. I still do it freelance now. I think what I missed the most was the creativity part of it, like just being able to like design and have that like really train my eye for colors, and the way that your eye looks at an arrangement was so interesting to me. I just loved learning this new way of expressing myself through flowers. And I got to do this really cool project. I was designing for a gallery that had one of Andy Warhol's prints. And it was just like, they loved it. Like, they sent an email and were like, oh my God, this is amazing. The flowers match perfectly. Like, this is great. And it was a big, like, when you arrange like to this like big of a size, it's scary. Like, it's really daunting because you have to, like, the design just starts to grow. And it can get really messy really quick. And if you don't know what you're doing, it can get bad fast. But yeah, that's my journey with flowers. I still do it. I have a flower page coming up. I haven't posted anything on it because I don't know what direction I want to take it to. But I'm going to make like a freelance flower page so I can do like stuff on set.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
One thing that stands out to me from you within our friendship is your positivity. You have that ability to bright up a room. And I think that's pretty cool. Where does that positivity stem from, and how important is it to you to incorporate fun in your day-to-day and positive vibes
in life? One, thank you. That's really nice. It feels really good to hear that. I think it just comes from life is just short, and you never know when it's gonna end. And that's the reality. Like, you have to live every day to the fullest. I don't want to sit here and just be grumpy and negative all the time. Nobody wants to sit there and have a photo shoot where the girl is like, we want to have fun. We're all getting paid. Like, it's going to be long hours. We all just want to, like, get in, get out. Like, let's have the best time doing it. And that's it. Like, that's my motto for working. That's my motto for, like, every single job that I do. Like, I just am a naturally happy person. Like, I really feel for the people who have depression out there because they're like really going through it, and it's not even their fault. It's just like in the brain, they were born that way, and it's tough. Like, life, it just gets harder the older that you get. And I feel like I listen to a lot of old people. I used to work at an old people home while in college, like to pay for college. And just listening to other people's stories and their travels and like taking little bits of wisdom and advice from everyone is like the thing that I do. And I think that's how I stay so positive. I just gravitate towards like all these wise elderly people. Not really elderly, they're not all old, but taking little bits of everybody's stories and being able to put the best parts and apply them to my life so that I can have the best fun. Like I said, we're not here for a long time.
I mean, the truth is, like, the day-to-day of life in general, whether it's a work week or a weekend or something you have to do, it's not going to be easy. You know, you're going to have traffic. You're going to have, you know, someone cut you off. You're going to have your coffee didn't come out the right way. I think it's up to you to how you make that specific situation determine your full day.
Like, you're Also, I'm not happy like all the time. Like, I feel like people think that, but like in the morning, I'm grumpy as all hell. I hate waking up in the morning, but I'm trying. Like, it's just that act of trying to make it something different is the most powerful thing. And that is like, again, resiliency and determination to just feel, to be on that vibration of like happiness and love and acceptance and compassion, and like that's what I strive to do all the time. And so it's like effort. It's not easy. It is natural, but at the same time it's kind of not, like, because of like what you said. I'm like stomping in the morning, and all my roommates, they can hear me like grunting and like slamming shit, like but then once I'm done, like that first like hour, I'm like, oh, okay, we're here, we're alive. What are we going to make the best of this? Like, how are we going to make this day the best day?
It's important. For you specifically with goal chasing and things you're striving for and the different industries you're involved in, what's the overarching goal? Like, what's the dream? What's that thing you're striving for to elevate your career?
Honestly, I still think I'm figuring this out, like, right now, because I just turned 27 literally like 3 days ago, and everybody keeps asking me, and this is like the year, like apparently it's your Saturn return, 27, like so many things are gonna there's gonna be like a big upheaval or like a big change, or like you'll move somewhere. A lot of people's 27, it's like a memorable years in their life. Like my mom said her favorite age was 27, 28, and I'm like, what is that gonna be like for me? How can I picture that? What I've been doing lately is like setting myself up with quarterly goals so that I can like space them out well and enjoy, instead of like overwhelming myself with like all these crazy goals that are unattainable. So I created SMART goals, which are specific, measurable, I think achievable, relative, and time sensitive. So I'm just getting into like the organization of like, okay, who do I want to be in like 10 years? So I'm still figuring that out. I think we're always figuring it out. I don't think you're ever going to be the person that you want to be, because things change, and like destiny is just different for everybody. Like, change your destiny. Yeah. Why? Like just living in the present is like the most important for me. I try not to think too far ahead because I get anxious. And when you're stuck in the past, you're just reliving those old days. Yeah. So just being present, setting up goals, but being okay if they change and shift is really important to me, and like achieving my goals. And then when it happens, you don't know how it's gonna happen. And trying not to be attached to that is my thing.
I was just having a conversation with my little brother the other day. He's gonna start to pick colleges and he's starting to pick majors, and like, having that discussion that it's okay if your major changes, it's okay if your underlying goal to be this thing is not the same 5 years from now. That's so true within ourselves as well. We're still young. Like, at the end of the day, like, if I have an idea for what I want to be like, in 2 years and it's changed and I want to do something else, that's okay.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Even if you're like, it doesn't matter what age you're at, if you're 40, like if you're 50, 60, 70, my great grandpa was like 102. Like even then, like he doesn't know what's gonna happen tomorrow. None of us do. And it's like, that's the scary part. But what you can do is just try to be that person who you're gonna be in the future now.
Yeah. So the goal of the show is interviewing inspiring individuals to inspire others. Mm-hmm. So in this question, we're going to try to see how we can inspire someone else. So what's your advice to someone who wants to get into the modeling world, a young girl, like trying to go after, or guy trying to go after like what you're doing, or they, them modeling or dancing, like what's your advice to them?
Okay. So just take dance class. You could go to school for it if you really wanted to, if you have like the money and the means and like you really like the school and the program, but just know like what the college, because all colleges have agendas and they're all just trying to make money right now at this point. So like, just that investment, can you put it into another program that's going to take you further in the city where you're meeting people all the time? Or do you like the collegiate aspect? It really just is like, where do you want to be in dance? Do you want to do dance administration? Do you want to do dance in business? Do you want to perform? Are you a choreographer? That's where you have to see where you're at first. Because I know that I always wanted to, every time I think about it, I always used to say in my head, like, I want to be the business behind dance. And I want to make dance a sustainable art form for people, because it is not right now. And it is hard for a lot of performers, choreographers, dancers, dance administrators, like everyone. And we're all just trying to make it better. And then, what else? The modeling aspect. Look and see what type of agencies you want to go for. You have to live in the city. There's no other way. You cannot do it from, I mean, you can do it from Allentown, Pennsylvania, but it's going to be hard because you're 2.5 hours away from New York if you have to go to a casting and you work that day. Like, are you able to call off and then travel all the way over there, make the casting, come back? Like, that's so much. You might as well just pay the rent to live in the city if you can and kind of work it that way. It's a lot more easier. And I had my best friend's little sister just ask me all these questions lately. We're going to work on her portfolio. So this is kind of like fresh in the mind. Yeah, and just put yourself out there. Get your modeling portfolio. Be careful of photographers and agencies who want to put you in debt. Do not do that if you're not financially ready for it. I know I wasn't. So I need a lot of help on that front. Because there are people who do free tests. YouTube is your best friend. YouTube University Boyma used to say it all the time. It's so true. Like, everything he learned was on YouTube. My boyfriend also didn't go to college. Like, Christian did not go to school, and he is like visual merchandiser for Ame Landor. Exactly. You don't have to go to school to do all these things. Just go to class and do the work within yourself first, and then start to reach out to other people. So like, once you know your personal goals, is when you can like venture out.
That's good advice. That's good advice.
Yeah.
For your supporters and the viewers watching, what do you have cooking in the coming months? Is there anything that you're working on within this month and then a few months coming up that you're excited to share?
This question actually scared me when I read it, because I was like, what the fuck do I have going on? I was like, what do I have going on? And then I'm like thinking about my goals. So I have a photo shoot this weekend with my friend Marissa. Okay. I just did one with Sean and Veronica, my other friends, 2 days ago. Hopefully some like roller skating reels. It's just like me putting out more content so that I can gain jobs like in the modeling industry. And so I can be signed out here or like in PDX and Miami, you know, just starting to get signed in other cities so that I can travel and gain work out there. Yeah, just really reach out and like open up my network as a model, because I have so many people again telling me like, you could do this, you could do that, you could do this, you could do that. But then when I'm in the industry, like, they say kind of the opposite, but I know that I can make it work, because there's other people out there pushing the boundaries, and that's really important. So that's what I have cooking so far. Model-wise, at least.
That's right.
Yeah.
So turning 27, you know, you've gone through different roller coasters, up and downs, and you know, wins, losses, successes. What's your piece of advice to our viewers to kind of like a pep talk, like to be their best selves, someone who's like, trying to figure it out, but like, what's your advice to them?
I think what's helped me the most was this book called The Artist's Way. And I read it with Jessica as like a team building thing for JTM Project, but it also like, that's where I found out like, okay, this is what I wanted to do as a child, like play guitar again. And I know so many people who've read the book like 5 times and throughout their lifetime, because it's so relevant over and over again. It's like a tried and tested like artist's creativity building book where you just like take away all the blocks in your life. And so I guess what I would say is read that book and dive into all the things that you wanted to do as a child that you thought you couldn't when you're older, because it's so fun and you learn so much about yourself, and then you see like the blocks slowly removed.
I have to check that book out. It's called The Artist's Way.
Yeah.
Okay.
And meditate for sure.
Meditation?
I'm trying so hard. It's so hard for me to like, especially when I'm like away, like not at home, for me to like have that time to myself. But it has been very, very helpful. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the viewers will be super grateful to hear that advice from you. So on the show, we like to do like this or that questions. You have 60 seconds to answer this. Are you ready for this little game that we've prepared for today?
Let's go.
Cool. I'm gonna set the timer for 60 seconds on the phone. 3, 2, 1, go. Zombies or vampires?
Oh, vampires.
Bad breath or body odor?
Ugh.
You gotta choose one.
Bad breath.
All right. Loud neighbors or nosy neighbors?
nosy neighbors.
Okay. Train.
Loud neighbors. Okay. Sorry.
You don't like nosy? Okay.
No, get out of my business.
Okay, cool. Train or airplane?
Airplane.
Oh.
Sneakers or dress shoes?
Sneakers.
Hot coffee or iced coffee?
No coffee. Tea.
Book or movies?
Movie.
Android or iPhone?
iPhone.
Day or night?
Day.
Modeling or dancing?
How many do we have left?
Say, you want to skip it?
Modeling.
Oh, words or actions?
Actions.
Calling or texting?
Calling. That's it? Did
you,
I do it?
You did it. You hit it right on the money.
Okay, there was good.
One more question.
Oh.
It said money or love?
Love. Yeah.
Well, I think we achieved the goal that we were trying to achieve, you know?
That body odor question, the body odor, like, for, like, a lover, or, like, friends, or, like, life, like, forever? Oh, my God. I was, like, really stuck
what
right
I was
there.
Curious about was, did it mean body odor on you or someone else?
Right.
Do you
definitely
smell your body
breath.
Odor when you're walking around?
Yes. Okay. Like, just because, like, dancing, like...
Oh, yeah.
After a dance class, you f***ing stink. Like, you stink, and like people smell like.
And you chose bad breath.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cause I don't know. You could put mint in there, like, I guess.
I don't know if that was.
Could
an option.
You gum?
I don't know if that was.
These are. This is what happens in my head. I think about like. I think about like, all the logistics. I'm like, da-da-da. Okay, that's why I want it.
Yeah. Cause
it's like the most efficient for me.
Yeah.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see.
So like zombies or vampires? Vampires. Because you could live forever. Zombies, you're just dead and then you turn into a zombie.
Mm, I didn't
you're not really
that,
like though. Aware as a zombie. You're aware as a vampire.
Yeah. For the viewers who are brand new, where can they follow you on social media and keep up with all things Nation?
On Instagram, Awesome Saucy with a Z, Awesome Zossy. You can find me on TikTok there. I'm not really as active. I should be, but do I really care? So, yeah, those are my two platforms. Or just, like, meet me in real life. I like to have fun and, like, go out and meet people. Yeah, I like to dance and have fun in real life rather yeah. than, like, on the platform.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, I want to say thank you for joining me on this episode. It's my third Los Angeles residential episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very thankful to keep it moving and have individuals, you know, tune in to... different individuals who have different backgrounds. And I think you're the first model we've had on the show. So it's also cool that you're a friend of mine from way back.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes the conversation super genuine. And
yeah.
I want to say congratulations on all the things that you've achieved
Thank
within
you.
Your career thus
Thank
far.
You. And congratulations to you, boo.
I appreciate that.
yeah.
Keep striving, keep going. I think our viewers to see you know, other individuals chasing after what they want so young is inspiring for them to see. And that's why I created this show. So
I'm like, so young. I'm like, I'm 20 so young.
That's young. Like
I know. And I keep like, Rob, it's because I'm with Rob lately. He's just been saying that we're older, yada, yada. I'm like, don't say that.
Yeah.
Because like 30 isn't, 35 is not, yeah. like 45 is not. Like,
there's so
once
much
you get
to
60. he's gonna be like, I'm not old, but like me and my mom, we call him viejito now because he's getting up there. That is like, you know, you could just always change your mind at any point in time in your life. So we're not old. Here I am, young. Sorry, I have to talk myself up.
You have to. Well, thank you again. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for tuning in to episode 14 of Chilling with Julian. Continue to stay inspired. See you on the next episode and have a good day. Peace.